Bonnevilleinternational.com.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Larry speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now here's your host, Larry Allen.
We have a very exceptional show here today with a very talented guest who I'll introduce in a minute. So hopefully that's enough to keep you listening. We have something special for you on Off the Shelf this morning. In the meantime, I want to remind you that your feedback is welcome here at Off the Shelf. If you have a suggestion for a show topic, somebody who you'd like to see us interview here on Off the Shelf, whether it's in government and in or industry, you know where to find us. We are at Off the Shelf at federalnewsradio.com. That's Off the Shelf at federalnewsradio.com. We love to keep those cards and letters coming. Well, my guest today is Roy Temple. Roy is currently Senior Vice President with Cassidy & Associates, well-respected Washington, D.C. government affairs firm. Prior to being at Cassidy, Roy served for both Senator Gene Carnahan from the state of Missouri and Governor Mel Carnahan from the same state. So Roy is somebody who has an acute eye on the political pulse today, which is very topical considering the time of year we're talking. We're doing this show approximately 10 days before the November election, but you're hearing it after the election results, so you get to see whether or not the things that Roy and I are forecasting have actually come true. If so, you can send your email responses to somebody else than Off the Shelf at federalnewsradio.com. In the meantime, Roy Temple, welcome to Off the Shelf.
Good to be with you, Larry.
Well, it's great to have you here. I'm pretty excited about this topic. It's one that people have been speculating a lot about. And as I said, we're still not exactly sure what's going to happen, if the polls will actually play out the way. We'll know when this airs. But in the meantime, the portent of this election, whether or not one or both chambers of Congress flip party control, undeniably, it will be a much more tense, much more razor-thin atmosphere on Capitol Hill over the next 2 years, and that will have potential impact on things like government procurement and contracting, government management, certainly. Roy Temple, your views on how a change in control of the House of Representatives would impact the federal government market. People don't usually think in terms of this issue when discussing election outcomes, yet there will be new people, if the House flips, in charge with a new agenda, right? I mean, key committees like House Oversight and Armed Services will get some new people, just to name a couple of committees.
Yeah, I think you're going to see an area with a lot of dynamic activity post-election. You know, if you think about sort of the big picture, you've got legislative activity that can occur, and that will be driven probably by the ideologies of the parties in control, and they'll have to fight that out. And then you've got three or four other major activities. You've got the regulatory front, which is more under the control of the administration, and you've got the oversight function, which is more in the hands of the Congress.
Right.
And then you've got the appropriations process, where some of that may all collide. So I think the place where Congress can be most muscular, if in a new majority or just in an emboldened minority, is going to be in that oversight function. So I think you're going to see a lot of activity there.
A lot of oversight function. Let's dive into that a little bit more, specifically House oversight. Daryl Issa, who as we sit here today is the ranking Republican on that committee, would be next in line to take chairmanship should the House change hands. As ranking member over the past year or so, he's assembled a team pretty interesting to me. I'm a procurement type. Ranking member Issa has assembled a team of investigators. He doesn't really have any procurement people on his staff. In fact, he fired all of the procurement people from former Chairman Davis's staff when he came in. part of that, Roy, is speculating that Mr. Issa might try to draw attention to what are perceived, anyway, Obama administration managerial missteps. What does that tell us about the type of chairman Representative Issa might be?
Well, I think he's going to be quite an assertive, would be quite an assertive chairman. You know, he's laid out recently a pretty aggressive blueprint of the vision that he has for how that committee should operate, should he be the chair of it, and lays out in sort of very granular detail some issues that he wants to delve into. And some of those probably hit squarely in the procurement, government management, technology areas that I think are going to be of interest to people who do business with the federal government. In general terms, I think you're going to see in the Oversight Committee a much more aggressive posture than you've seen in perhaps the recent past. That's not shocking. If you go back to when Chairman Waxman then ran...
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, so when Chairman Waxman took over the committee during the Bush administration, I think without argument, you would say that it became a much more activist committee. And as he sort of moved at his agenda. And if you go back in time... there were zero subpoenas issued by the Oversight Committee in the House in the first 2 years of the Clinton administration when the Democrats controlled the Congress. There were, in the remaining 6 years of the Clinton administration, over 1,000 subpoenas issued, according to Lee Hamilton's book last year. He was sort of opining on the role of Congress. And so there were 1,000 subpoenas issued. Now, some of those center on the personal financial activities of the Clintons, but in general terms, I think that tells you the arc of activity and how it may shift with the change in power from one party to the other.
And in fact, the chair of the House Government Reform and Oversight Committee, whoever that is, has subpoena power, one of the few committee chairs that has that.
Right. And, that from a contracting standpoint has a couple of implications. One is those areas they choose to look into and whether or not that impacts you directly. But it also could be in the more sort of, if you're more of a cynic and say some of that activity may be aimed at not at a contractor, but at merely embarrassing the administration or pointing out where they've fallen down, you could end up being collateral damage, not because anyone is coming to look at you per se, but they choose a topic area where you happen to do business and you're under the white hot spotlight being scrutinized nonetheless. And that can be through no fault of your own. You can be getting undue attention, and you can also be trying to explain things that decisions that were made in one context and they're now being explored in a very different context. And sometimes that present some challenges.
It does indeed, and I want to talk a little bit about that more in our next segment, because that's exactly the type of things that government contractors are concerned, i.e. that they would get caught up in what be collateral damage in some broader oversight agenda. My guest this half hour is Roy Temple. Roy is Senior Vice President with the firm of Cassidy Associates here in Washington, D.C. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Throughout the history of American defense, Northrop Grumman has helped give the men and women of our military an edge with innovative design. Northrop Grumman delivered the products and systems that changed the course of battles and of wars. Today, our technology makes a difference in every domain: air, land, sea, space, and cyberspace. The people of Northrop Grumman build satellites, unmanned systems, electronic systems, information technology, as well as submarines and ships. We build the systems that give our troops a moment-by-moment picture of the battle space and a critical war-fighting advantage, along with shields from enemy threats. For 70 years, wherever the American military has served, Northrop Grumman has supported our nation's and our allies' defenses with the most advanced technology. Northrop Grumman, defining the future.
And welcome back here to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, your humble host here every Tuesday morning at this exact time on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where those of us here at the international headquarters of the Off the Shelf radio program bring you the unamazingly loyal listener in government and industry the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. I ask you to check out the Coalition's website, see what's going on in Coalition land here at the end of the year. We're going to have some things that relate to my topic today. Everything you need to know is at thecgp.org. That's thecgp.org. And all of the events and wonderful things that we're doing will become manifest to you. My guest this half hour is Roy Temple. Roy is currently Senior Vice President with the Washington Government Affairs firm of Cassidy & Associates. Previously, he served as Chief of Staff to both Senator Jean Carnahan and Governor Mel Carnahan, both of Missouri. And Roy is a great, acute political observer. It's very timely to have him on this time of year. Roy, as we went into that break, we were talking a little bit about oversight agenda, should the House, and of course, as we're doing this 10 days before the election, so we can only predict what might happen, should the House change hands, in fact, contracting activities might get caught in the maw of a larger oversight agenda where things are looked at through a disproportional lens or a lens that maybe isn't a pure government procurement and contracting lens, which could distort things. What are some of the downside risks with this sort of oversight approach to, if you're a government manager or even a contractor?
Well, I think you could find yourself on the defensive, though you may have done everything you were supposed to do exactly the way you were supposed to do it. You may still find yourself in the uncomfortable position of trying to publicly defend your actions. And just by virtue of being in that position, it often feels like you're the one being attacked. Let me give you a tangible example. I mean, one of the things that Congressman Issa has been talking about in his potential agenda is federal IT systems. And he points out that that's an $80 billion market, and that in the private sector, 24% of those projects fail before they ever come online. Well, and he says, you know, we don't have enough information right now to know if the government's doing better than that 24% right. private sector figure or worse. That's one issue. But if you think about that 24% of 80, if the number's the same, even if it's a quarter of $80 billion, then that would be $20 billion worth of projects that could be, there could be hearings about, there could be subpoenas about, there could be examinations of, all of which you could raise questions about whether it was properly managed from the government side, whether it was properly managed from the contractor side, where the failure was in that. And even still, you might be doing as well as people are doing in the private sector. So you could have a lot of examination and a lot of gnashing of teeth only to conclude that you're really doing all right, but there's a lot of misery between you and that outcome. And there's always the risk that you're not doing as well as the private sector.
That's exactly right. So there is some potential for downside risk. If you're a contractor or a government manager, you shouldn't necessarily think that a change in party control will take the heat off of Congress's oversight campaign. And, of course, we have the Senate as well to talk about. But before I get to that, one of the things you were talking about, Roy, when we were off line here was the fact that both Congressman Issa, the putative next chair of House Government Reform and Oversight, and the Obama administration share a top-line policy desire for greater transparency in government acquisition and government operations. That might lead to some opportunities below all the rhetoric. So if you dial down the noise level, there actually might be some opportunities for cooperation, and that might translate into some opportunities for contractors.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I mean, as is often the case in government, there's the headline grabbing conflict and controversy,
right.
And then there's those places where, you know, at a much quieter level, people work to solve problems. And if you listen to some of what Congressman Issa has been saying recently, most particularly at a Heritage Foundation speech back in September, he spent a fair amount of time talking about his desire to make government more transparent, to make information more publicly accessible, and to make citizens subcontractors, if you will, in the government oversight process. So to do that, his premise is that you have to have technological platforms by which you make government data searchable and capable of being cross-referenced from one source to another, so that folks can aggregate that data, manipulate that data, and draw meaningful conclusions about it. Well, if you think about that, that could have just as easily been someone from the Obama administration giving that speech. So there's a fair amount of strategic alignment. You know, transparency, I jokingly said, as, you know, Justice Stewart famously said, that obscenity is hard to define, but he knows it when he sees it. Well, transparency is a little bit like that. There may be some fights over exactly your definition of transparency, but I think there's plenty of room to reconcile sort of Congressman Issa's view of transparency and the Obama administration's view of transparency. And probably the solution in moving toward that desired outcome is got a technology component to it.
Oh, I think you're exactly right, and it's a very good point. So even though we talked earlier, just a couple minutes ago, about the fact that contractors and government managers alike might come in for some extensive oversight, which may not be fun, there are also going to be some opportunities here, particularly in the transparency field. And, you know, some people may think, Roy, that we are at a place right now where every government agency has the ability to have searchable and comparable data. However, we were just at a meeting recently with senior members of the Department of Veterans Affairs, where they were very public about the fact that their systems aren't anywhere near that level yet, which poses all kinds of interesting things, not just for transparency, but for how they do the current mandates that they fulfill. Also, something that translates into another opportunity, potentially. Let's talk briefly now, and we'll talk more about it later, about the Senate side. One of the things, starting off, Roy Temple, my guest today on Off the Shelf, Senator Claire McCaskill, current chair of the Senate subcontracting, or the Senate subcommittee, rather, on contracting oversight, may end up having a fairly similar oversight agenda to Congressman Issa in the House. Different parties, but maybe a very similar view on oversight. Tell us a little bit about what might go on in that contracting oversight subcommittee, especially based on the fact that Senator McCaskill's had a couple of years already to set a tone for that.
Well, I think anybody that's sort of trying to analyze where that subcommittee may go needs to really kind of keep in mind a few important facts about Senator McCaskill as a person and as a politician. I mean, she is very bright, very determined, and she's fiercely independent. So once she's on something, she's on it, and she will see it through. And she's got an uncanny instinct for sniffing out controversies or challenges and for going after them.
That's a great way to have a cliffhanger for our second segment. When we come back, I'm going to continue my conversation about the Senate Contracting Oversight Subcommittee with my guest, Roy Temple. Roy, Senior Vice President with the firm of Cassidy Associates here in Washington. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What do successful small, medium, and large federal contractors, including two-thirds of the top 100, have in common? Membership in the Coalition for Government Procurement. Successful federal contractors know they get the information edge they need on developing acquisition trends and an effective voice to protect their interests from coalition membership. For nearly 30 years, the coalition's been the trusted voice of industry, working with federal officials to promote common sense procurement. Know what the best know. Join the coalition today to protect and grow your company's business. Contact the Coalition at 202-331-0975 or visit their website at thecgp.org. That's 202-331-0975 or thecgp.org. Don't be left wondering what will happen to your federal business in 2009. Contact the Coalition today.
And welcome back here to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, President of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and your host here every Tuesday right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, where we bring you Off the Shelf to you, the unobtainably loyal listener in government and industry, the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. We welcome your feedback, as always, here on Off the Shelf. If you have a question for my guest today, Roy Temple, suggestion for a show topic or something for your humble host, shoot us a line here. Our email address is offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. That's offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. We are indeed talking this half hour to Roy Temple. Roy, Senior Vice President with the Washington firm of Cassidy & Associates. Previously, he was Chief of Staff to both Senator Jean Carnahan and Governor Mel Carnahan of Missouri. And we're talking about the outcome of the midterm elections. It's a little bit today like riding the lead on the way to the ballpark because we're taping this show 10 days before the elections, but we're forecasting some things that are probably going to come true regardless of whether or not party control actually flips in one side of the House or one side of the Congress or the other. Roy, as we went into the break, you were just starting to give our listeners some insights into Senator Claire McCaskill, the chair of the Senate's Contracting Oversight Subcommittee. She has a very strong passion. You say once she gets on something that she's on it. Give us some insights into the senator's professional career before she got to the Senate that might help our listeners get a frame of reference on what's driving her and what may shape the subcommittee.
Well, I think it would probably be helpful for those listeners who don't realize it to know that, you know, before she came to the Senate, Senator McCaskill was the Jackson County prosecuting attorney in Jackson County, Missouri. So she was the criminal prosecutor in the second largest political jurisdiction in the state of Missouri, which takes in Kansas City. And then her first statewide office was as state auditor. And in Missouri, it's a constitutional office elected statewide. It had historically been a sleepy little office that went out to county offices and did audits, and they'd do reports about how well you'd monitored your petty cash fund. And when Senator McCaskill took it over, she decided to make it a much more muscular office, and she asserted the prerogative to do performance audits in addition to financial audits of both the jurisdictions of government in the state and also state agencies and their operations and how they manage taxpayer dollars. And she did that over the objection of the legislature, who tried to suggest that, you know, your job is really the financial audits only. You have got no business doing performance audits. And she was very aggressive in asserting that prerogative and pushing back when they tried to challenge her right and privilege to do that. And she took it quite seriously. I mean, she's a sort of a fierce guardian of the taxpayer dollar and wants to see it spent wisely. And so that's sort of the mindset she uses. But she's also got that sort of prosecutorial investigative mindset that comes from years as a prosecutor. So she digs in and she understands which facts matter and which facts don't. And she kind of understands how to follow the trail of facts that lead her to sometimes blockbuster conclusions.
Well, in fact, one of the things recently that she's talked about is Alaska Native corporations, and there's been a lot in the press generally about ANCs lately. That was an issue. ANC and the preferences they have in government contracting was an issue for the subcommittee over the last couple of years. Senator McCaskill recently has said, Roy Temple, that she will be introducing legislation that would do away with the preference for Alaska Native corporations. Sounds like this is exactly the type of thing that you were talking about with the senator's proclivity to get on a topic. She sees something that she thinks is trouble and then sees it through to fruition. If you're an ANC, what does that mean for you?
Well, I think if you're an ANC, you need to have a really thoughtful case to be made for addressing whatever problems that have been identified and for making the case why these benefits are important to preserve and how they benefit a larger group of people and not just a particular handful of contractors. That is the fear I think she has, that this is a system that may have been well-intended but has benefited some people unjustly. I think there's the folks who are in that business need to be prepared to make that counter argument and to make it assertively, because she will see the argument through. Doesn't mean she'll prevail, but she's not going to just fold up and get bored with it and move on to something else.
Which happens sometimes in Washington, D.C. Roy Temple, my guest today, one more question for you. Let's talk a little bit about the administration's management agenda and the fact that regardless of the outcome of the election, there's still an awful lot that this administration can do on its own regulatorily without getting congressional help, as broadly understood. talk a little bit about how likely we are to see the sorts of issues we cover here on Off the Shelf continue to receive substantial attention. That's government procurement, contracting, transparency type, competition, rules, regulations, that type of thing. We've got 2 years in the first term of this president, but we also have a presidential election coming up. To what extent do you think these types of issues will continue to receive, to be in the forefront of what this administration talks about?
Well, I mean, I think some people might argue that those sorts of managing good government issues may not have a lot of sex appeal, if you will.
Right.
But I think the context this will all be done in by the Obama administration is, A, first of all, I think they actually care about, you know, trying to run the government well and trying to get value for taxpayers from their tax dollars. But I think from a political standpoint, the Obama administration will approach those issues in a way that allows them to demonstrate to those sort of center voters that they're not interested in big government for the sake of big government. They are interested in seeing that those dollars are well spent. So I think that you will see a lot of this discussion play out in the context of efficiency, prudent use of taxpayer dollars, and that sort of framework, which, you know, cuts multiple different ways depending on your perspective if you're in the vendor position. There's opportunity in that, and there's also challenge in that, and you need to be mindful of the direction that discussion is likely to be moving to make sure that you don't, you know, step into a covered pit.
And as always, that does the covered pit for some is also an opportunity for others, because if you are somebody that can help with sound financial or fiscal management, if you can show good value for the systems, particularly, as you mentioned earlier, Roy, opportunities for transparency, this, if you're a supplier to the government, might work in your favor.
Absolutely.
So how about if you're a government manager? Interesting time to be a government manager. Generally speaking, a good idea to have people in the administration that care about this.
Right. I think the great frustration of most government managers, of many government managers, is that they work really hard, they do their best to do a good job, and no one ever notices until there's a problem. And so the idea that some of these issues may get some oxygen is unnerving at one level, because, you know, you can be embarrassed if
right.
somebody is just out to get you. But the other reality is that it will sometimes draw attention to something that you've really dedicated your life to and that otherwise gets virtually no attention. So, you know, as in all things, there's challenges, but there's sometimes equal or greater opportunity hidden in those challenges.
Yeah, and what it shows is that the business of government does keep moving forward, regardless of who sits in what chair. It just may have a slightly different emphasis. Roy Temple, my guest today on Off the Shelf, Senior Vice President with Cassidy & Associates. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show this morning.
It's a real pleasure to be with you.
And I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to us. An interesting show, good insights, things you can take to the bank, regardless of what side you sit on, which is what we endeavor to bring to you here on Off the Shelf. I'm Larry Allen, your host here. Join us again next week as we continue our discussions on Off the Shelf about the world of commercial solutions procurement right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.